ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على رسول الله. بعد my dear brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, we come to the perhaps the last of the reminders on the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And as I have been saying from the beginning, the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam is a life that is that embodies two things. One is ta'alluq ma'allah, and the other one is the outcome of this ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is tawakkul ala Allah. The final incident which I want to remind myself anew and mention is after the construction of the Kaaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Ibrahim alayhi salam to call the adhan, and the Quran mentions this, that Ibrahim alayhi salam was ordered to call the adhan. And when he was ordered to call the adhan, Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Ya Allah, but who will come?" Because it was not as if there was nobody there. I mean, there was perhaps a small habitation with the Jurhum from Yemen who had come and settled there, but there was no one else. And Makkah also is not on any major caravan route of those times, unlike Medina, which was on the route going north to Syria or Sham. Sham is the right name, not Syria, because Syria is a political entity created after the Second World War. The Mulk al-Sham used to consist of Syria, Jordan, Palestine, Lebanon, and all those countries together was one country or one nation. So, but Makkah is not on any route either. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is asking a legitimate question, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, "Call the adhan," and he says, "I'll call the adhan, but who will come?" And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "You call the adhan, it is my job to send." And Allah says, "They will come through the valleys on lean camels. Today they come on 747 and A380 jets from all over the world." But the issue is that this incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam being ordered to call the adhan, and his response and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's response to that, this is the classic stance as far as the work of da'wah is concerned. Today we tend to get, especially those who are I'm hesitating to say, not because I'm at a loss for words, but because this is one of the problems today. Da'watul Islam was and is the work of every living Muslim man or woman. It is not the work of, it's not a profession. It is not something that is to be done by some people who call themselves Dawat or who call themselves whatever. It's not the work of this organization or that organization. It is the work and it's the responsibility of every living Muslim man or woman. And I'm saying deliberately living Muslim, which seems like a redundancy, but it's not, because the only time that you are freed from this work of Dawah as a Muslim is when you are dead. So as long as you are living, this responsibility is yours, to convey the message of Islam to the world through our actions before everything else, and then of course through our words. There is no da'wat of Islam with words without actions. People see what you do before they care about what you say. People don't care what you say until they see what you do. So that is the work. And the dilemma in today's, and I think it's a self-created dilemma, the dilemma among people today is the same thing, which is how many people are listening to me, how many people come to my conferences or majalis or lectures, how many hits do I get on YouTube, how many likes do I get on Facebook. All of this is nonsense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't ask you and me to look for any of this. Not only is this nonsense, but this is the biggest trap of shaitan, which takes away the ikhlas, which takes away the sincerity from the work of da'wah. Where, believe it or not, and anyone who thinks that he is or she is free from this, is completely in the grip of shaitan, because you're fooling yourself. You're completely fooling yourself. Anyone who thinks that it doesn't matter to me how many likes I get on Facebook is nonsense. Absolute rubbish. You're fooling yourself. You are a human being and you are as subject to temptation as anybody else. And if you think that you are not subject to temptation, then you are sitting in the lap of shaitan. It's as simple as that. So this is what deprives you from the ajr, from the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This focus on the external. The other big danger is that this focus on the external also takes away your enthusiasm after a while. Because when you find that you are so-called losing ground, when you don't get that many hits every week or whatever monitoring system you have, when you monitor, you say, well, how many people are actually being affected by what I'm saying? Why do you care? Allah didn't ask you to see that. Now, if you get stuck in that, then you also lose enthusiasm, because you find that, oh, but you see, nobody listens to me. So why should I talk? And that's exactly what shaitan wants you to do, and that's why shaitan tells you to focus on so-called results. This is a big trap of the so-called modern dawah, where we have taken systems from the corporate world and we have tried to apply them in the world of Islamic dawah. There is a book of mine on this, and there is also a lecture of mine called Pitfalls of Modern Dawah. I'm going to ask Umair to put both the links on this. Please see the book and read the book and see the lecture. I won't go into the details here, but the two big dangers. One is that it takes away the ikhlas, the sincerity from your work, which means that at the end of the day, may Allah protect us from this fate, but we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our book of accounts is blank. All the work we did has gone down the drain, because it was done for the approval of people, not for the approval of Allah. And the second big danger is that in this life itself, you lose your enthusiasm, you lose your energy, you lose your desire to work, because you find the results are not there and you lose heart. So this is the lesson that we are learning from this. Ibrahim alayhi salam saying, when I call the adhan, who will come? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that is not your problem. I will send. And as we see in the case of Ibrahim alayhi salam, people come from Hajj, for Hajj and Umrah, from all over the world, in all kinds of conditions. I have seen, many years ago, when I lived in Jeddah, I once went to Masjid Aisha to put on my haram for the miqat, and I saw these several container trucks, not the semi-articulated 16-wheelers, but smaller ones, but container trucks. And when I looked at the back of that, from this front it looks like a container truck, that's it. But if you look in the back, they have put a partition in the truck horizontally. So the vertical space is divided into two horizontal spaces. And there are people sleeping on that. So there are two tiers. And this entire truck comes from Uzbekistan. They have driven from Uzbekistan to Makkah. And that truck, if you look at it, seems to be stuck together on a bar of soap and a piece of wire and a prayer. I mean, that truck, it looks like, it was the first truck that was invented by Henry Ford or something. But it works. So, I mean, my first reaction was, these people have to be some of the world's greatest motor car mechanics that I've ever seen in my life. Because if they can keep that truck on the road from Uzbekistan to Makkah with all those people on board, that's amazing. And my second thought was, I wish I was 20 years old so I could go back with them to Uzbekistan on that truck. Because imagine that adventure. Imagine, driving with that. And that there are families in that. Men, women, children, people are cooking food and washing clothes and drying clothes and everything else. And so I thought to myself, I wish I was 20. I would have gone on this truck to Uzbekistan, and then, Allah knows what would have happened. Maybe I would have been sitting in Uzbekistan now or something. But the point is that this is the love of the house of Allah. And this is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. that Allah puts in the hearts of the Muslims. And if you go there, I remember the first time I saw the Kaaba, and I'm sure all of you have shared this experience. When the first time you see the Kaaba, there is this amazing love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that comes into your heart and says, Subhanallah, what Allah, you know, we thank Allah that Allah gave us the opportunity of going and worshipping in Makkah and of seeing the Kaaba. Now, all of this comes because of this issue of focusing on the work of Dawah purely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not because who is watching, who is listening, who is coming, who is not coming. We don't care. You do not care. Anybody, let anyone come or not come. It doesn't matter. What matters is this work of Dawah. And the fact that you are doing it only and only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody else. And this is the message that we get from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. I remind myself and you, let us focus on this. The result of this was that Ibrahim alayhi salam, as I mentioned earlier, is the only Nabi who, within quotes, didn't have a formal ummat of himself. There are no Ali, there are no Ali Ibrahim, like there were Ali Musa and so on and so on. The people of Musa and the people of Isa and the people of Nuh. The Qawm of Nuh, the Qawm of Musa, there's no Qawm of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Although Ibrahim alayhi salam is considered the father of the Anbiya and Khalilullah, very, very special position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are no people of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Ibrahim alayhi salam to all the people of the time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him an ummah in himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kana ummat. Allah said, Kana ummah. He is the ummah. So Allah said he is one man, but that one man is equal to an entire nation. And the other thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called us Muslims the people of Ibrahim alayhi salam, from the millat of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ibrahim alayhi salam, sammakum al-muslimin. He said, Ibrahim called you Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the name that Ibrahim alayhi salam called the people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people who believe in La ilaha illallah, Muslims, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called us Muslims. And Allah said, you are from the millat of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ummah are from the millat of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is who we are. So Ibrahim alayhi salam has a very special position because we are directly related to Ibrahim alayhi salam spiritually. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to benefit from this relationship, because it's a relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values, which he made, and he put us in that relationship of being from the millat of Ibrahim alayhi salam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live lives which are worthy of being from the millat of Khalilullah of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and of being from the millat of the nasl of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.